reading to you from Hebrews, 3rd chapter, 7th verse. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert. For your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I am angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Friends, pray for us real hard. Next Sunday, we have 3 services at the prison. We have 1 with the women and 2 with the men. Now, 1 service is with the gray boys. That's the boys that wear the gray uniforms, and they're the ones that's going up for a long time. And you'd be surprised how many of those people usually come to the Lord. We usually have 10 or 12 people accept Christ every service from that bunch because they know they're going up the river for a long time. Listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea or a lemonade and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Exodus, the 5th chapter, and with the 4th verse. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Go back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look at the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave his order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. And then we turn over here to verse 23, and it says, ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon his people, and you have not rescued your people at all. The title of this message is Waiting on God, and I want you to know this is a hard message to preach because each one of us have this problem. Father in heaven, I look upon you now because you're the only one that we can look up to. You're the only true God. And this book is a book of no errors, unerring word. Father, I pray for that man, that woman right now that's struggling with waiting upon the Lord, that this message will bless him and we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh. The long wait is over. Now the day has arises. Now, this is the moment for which Moses was born. Did you know you are born for a moment? There's something in this world. Now, I'm just talking to born-again believers right now. I want you to know God has a job for you to do. You say, Cecil, I'm not smart. I'm stupid. I don't know anything about the Bible. I'm a mess. I don't care how big a mess you are. God has a job for you. Nobody else. You are the one that is supposed to do this job. And He's raised you up for this job. Moses and Aaron had the same problem. Well, he had come to the kingdom for such a time. And I read in Esther 4:14. I'll put this down and look it up again. For if you remain silence at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. Now, you put your name in there. That could be you. Now, Pharaoh's negative reaction. He rebelled against the plan of God. He rebelled against the person of God, and he also rebelled against the people of God. Moses and his people learned to wait on God. Well, listen. Daily duties continued while waiting on God, verse 4 and 5. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. And then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from work. The reason that Pharaoh was scared to death of those people was because they were multiplying pretty fast. Now, the Bible says that one day God heard the cries of his people down in Egypt. They were being beaten. They'd been abused. But God took compassion on them, and he called one man out of the desert, herding sheep, said, you go down there, Moses, and you're my man. Well, Moses said, well, who in the world should I tell them sent me? And God said, I am that I am. Friends, when he says that, you better believe it. I am that I am. God is who he is. Now, this one that these Muslims are following is a dead god. Oh, sure, he don't live. He don't even exist. Now, the people immediately expected immediate release. Now, you know, when we ask a prayer, we usually, and I'm guilty of this as well as you, I'm guilty of, you know, I want it done now. Not tomorrow, but today. God's timetable is not our timetable. You say, well, you said he will answer my prayer. He will. Now, he does. I'm not going to tell you how he's going to say yes, no, or wait. But those three will be in there. Now, wait a minute, or this other thing. Why should they work hard with deliverance so near? Now, they really believed that Moses was going to be able to get them out of the promised land like God had promised. They believed that, but it didn't happen that way. Oh, how difficult it is to keep on track while waiting. Now, there's a mistake of some who set dates for Christ's return. You know, you've heard it. Seventh-day Adventists, I think they said that the Lord will be back either 1914 or 1917, but he didn't show up, did he? And whenever you see people setting dates, you just write them off as false prophets. Nobody on this earth knows when Jesus shall return. The Father does, the Heavenly Father knows, but you and I don't know. That's why he said we need to keep watching and waiting, because he is coming like a thief in the night. Hey, listen, if you and I knew, now listen to me now. If you and I knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, oh, wouldn't we change things? We'd clean out some of the books out of our houses, and we would do a lot of things differently. But that's not going to happen that way. He said, I will come as a thief in the night. Why, some had quit their jobs and waited. Some went up on the mountains to wait. Some sold everything they had. Well, I'm going to go up and wait. Jesus is going to come back. He didn't show up. Now, you know, Paul believed in his day that Jesus would return. And I believe in my day, while I'm still alive, that Jesus will return. I tell you, the signs of the time are upon us. But boy, I wouldn't say when. Some have spent lavishly and waited. But God calls us to be faithful to daily tasks while waiting. Well, difficulties may increase while waiting on God. And I read verse 6. It says, the same day Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as forever. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That is why they are crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make the work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to lies. Then the slave drivers and the foreman went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh said, I will not give you any more straw. Go out, get your own straw. Therefore, excuse me, Get your own star wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them, saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as you have straw. The Israelite foremen appointed by Pharaoh's slave drivers were beaten and were asked, why haven't you met your quota of bricks yesterday or today or before? Well, now, there was no more straw for the bricks. More work given to the Israelites. They had to go out and gather their own stubble. And brick production was to stay on target. They weren't supposed to drop their quota because they were not supplying them with their stubble. Oh, friends, punishment for not producing. Whew. Do you realize, friends, if God would punish us lazy Christians, we'd be in a whole heap of hurt. You know, there's no place in God's program for selfish, tight-fisted, lazy Christians. God wants every one of us to have a job. You know, I retired, 25 years ago, and so help me, Hannah. I've got more work now than I ever did when I had a big business, and I had a large business here. But my, I'm more busy now. Fact of the matter is, yesterday, I got a call from the chaplain from the prison. He said, Cecil, I'm out of Go-Mo-Go books. So I had to bundle up a bunch of books. I'm almost running out of books. But I know that before it's timed, if I run out, that I'll be able to have some more printed. It cost about $6 a book, I think, to print them up. But I tell you something, friends. That book has really done something in prisons. These guys and gals got no place to go. So they read, and they read, and they steal my book. That's okay. I don't care. If it helps them, I'm all for it. I don't sell them. I give them to them. Friends, I just don't like to sell the gospel. It's not for sale. Salvation is free. It's not cheap because it costs Jesus his life. But it's free. Oh, thank God. The morning I was saved, I didn't have two nickels in my pocket. Why? Because I drank all my money up. I lost my home. I lost our car. I lost our business. Now I was losing my family. And I did not know where to turn until God led me to call a preacher that I never heard of out of the phone book at 3 a.m. in the morning. And I told him, I said, my wife has left me. I've lost everything I have, and now I'm going to take my life. But I'm afraid to die, and I started to cry. He said, son, you don't have to commit suicide. I knew that enough about God's Word to know that suicide is not of the Lord. And you know, you hear these crackpots say, well, you know, I killed my teenage daughter because she was wicked. What a lie out of hell. Devil does anything to hurt people. While waiting, remember that God himself is faithful. Some may become impatient while waiting on the Lord. In verse 20 and 23 it says, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hands to kill us. Oh, they were impatient. Oh, am I talking to someone tonight that's fighting that battle? Maybe I'm talking to myself. What do you think? Good possibility. Because, dear friends, in my kind of work, there's so many things I want to do. I got a letter yesterday from a man as a preacher, an evangelist, and one of the finest men. He used to be my pastor years and years ago. He needs $2,000 to get this one film started, and I'm starting to pray right now. Now, if our stuff comes through, then I can send him the $2,000 and be happy to do it. Oh, friends, listen, we could do so much if we just trust the Lord. Now, see, our waiting may involve others. Well, there we are, just like I told you. I'm waiting for my investment that we made years ago. And I've been waiting, and we get emails and stuff, and it's supposed to be here any time now. And I had the privilege of sending some money to an evangelist friend of mine in Africa. And what I want to do now, you know, those pastors out there in the bush, they ride bicycles in that hot sand. Well, I can get them scooters for $1,250 a piece, and I want to send 10 scooters down there to them as quick as we get our money, and I'm having to wait. Ooh, it's hard sometimes. The complaint of the officers in verse 20, it said, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet with him. Well, we must not injure the faith of others. We must not say, hey, God went to sleep, because he didn't. We are to be faith builders while waiting. Now, I know it's hard to do. Yes, I do. I know exactly how hard it is. And it says that verse 22-23, Moses returned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. God must have said, oh, Moses, settle down, son. You're going to have a heart attack. Settle down. I told you I would do it, and I told you that you would lead them to the promised land, and you will lead them. Now, I know, yes, you said, well, Cecil, didn't Moses have a little trouble at the rock, and he smote it twice, and it was Moses smote it once, and God said, all right, Moses, I'm not going to let you go into the promised land, but I'll let you look into it. Oh, God was so good. Oh, listen, we must encourage others to be patient and trust God. Now, delays do not mean God will fall through. Listen to this now. Chapter 6, 6:12. Where's 6:12? My star, just a second. Okay, 6:12. But Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why should Pharaoh listen to me, since I speak with faltering lips? Well, he wasn't supposed to speak with faltering lips. He was supposed to talk to them straight from their side. Now, that was the effect of the complainers on Moses. We must encourage others to be patient and trust God. Now, delays do not mean God will fail to come through. Now, listen, the people doubted Moses and complained. God's promises were unchanged, but deliverance was ahead. Now listen, the promise of the burning bush would be fulfilled. Never question in the dark what God gave in the light. Friends, I've got to tell you something. Many years ago, I was going to Bible college in Hemet in Riverside, and I was roofing in the daytime and going to school at night. And I was sent out to Hemet, California. And I went out there, and this was old Grange Hall that was just out there in the middle of a wheat field all by itself. And I'm up there putting shingles on, and all of a sudden, it was like God just stopped me right there. And I looked up, and I said, Lord, what is it you want for my life? He said, you used to be a wheat farmer. You see all those heads of grain there? And inside those heads are little kernels. And those little kernels represent the souls of men. And I did weep, and I said, God, I'm an insignificant peon. How in the world could I go out and reach people like that? Well, friends, let me tell you what. It's beginning to come to pass. These things that he promised are going to come to pass. And we're going to be able to help many, many ministries around the world take the gospel. I can't go, but bless your heart, I can send them, and I'm so excited. So I know what they're talking about. I know exactly delays does not mean God will fail to come through. Well, the people doubted, and Moses complained. God's promises were unchanged. Deliverance was ahead. Now the promise of the burning bush would be fulfilled. Never question in the dark what God gave in the light. Listen, God's promise is to those who wait. Now I read in Psalms 27, 14. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Well, and he also tells in Isaiah 40:30, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Can you believe that? Isn't that beautiful? And then the answer to prayer, Psalm 62:5. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. And then the exaltation, and then the answer to prayer. And it says in Psalm 62, yeah, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My soul comes from Him. Now, my hope comes from Him. I'm sorry. You know, I should get new glasses, I guess. Well, now here's the blessings I found in Isaiah 30:18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait on Him. Let's be faithful while waiting. Let us expect God to come through in His time, and He will. Oh, praise the Lord. He will come through in time. You say, well, Cecil, wait a minute. We got a problem. Well, what's your problem? Well, you say, I don't know, I'm going to heaven. Well, that's the most important thing. We better straighten out today. If you're listening today on this broadcast tonight and you don't know Jesus, you got an old tugging at your heart right now. And you feel a longing to put your trust in Jesus. Here's what I want you to do. If you want to trust Jesus, if you don't, please, please do not pray this prayer, because it'll get you in trouble. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for all the things I've done to you, and tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. Help me to grow up and be everything you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, friend, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll tell you why. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I shall not write and ask you for a nickel or a dime. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, if you don't understand this and you want to talk to me, you call 303-471-8534. If you can't afford to call Collect. I'll accept it. I am concerned where you go, where you spend eternity, not where you go to church. Oh, listen, Christian, if you're discouraged tonight and you're disillusioned, wait on the Lord. He will see you through all your problems, and He'll give you rest, and He'll give you joy. Come unto me, all your labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Thank you. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Oh, I hope this message encouraged you tonight. Oh, please wait upon the Lord. He's going to see you through it. He won't answer you maybe today, maybe it'll be tomorrow, maybe the next day, but He will answer. You need to say yay or nay or wait, but He will answer your prayer. If you're a born-again believer, and you, He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what He said. Well, listen, friends, please pray for my wife as we go to prison next week. We got three services. Pray we'll be, many, many, many people will be saved. Pray for our health, and pray we'll get to come to the Dalles next month. Oh, I want to come out there so bad. I want to see a lot of friends and people. I'd like to speak in a couple of churches and share my faith in Jesus with them. Well, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.